Praise the Lord. I came to church with my preacher voice today. Some swollen tonsils. Don't shake my hand. Just tell me you love me from afar. We just flew back in this morning. My husband took me on a little trip for my birthday. And as ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we decided to go to Sin City, Las Vegas, Nevada. And we went there for an event that wasn't just, it had, the event so happened to be there. That's what took us there. And while we were there, we were there for such a short time. I saw a lot of stuff. That was my first Las Vegas trip ever. And stay-at-home mom wasn't quite prepared. I will say, but I was talking to my husband this morning on the way back from the airport, and I told him, you know, when you go on vacation and you're having fun and you're doing things, oftentimes our tendency is to put up walls or blinders because it's like, I don't want to see it. I don't want to feel it. I don't want it to offend me because I don't want it to ruin my trip. I don't want to be bummed out about that. I just want to have a good time. But when you live your life in a way that you want to live, filtering everything through your spirit and filtering everything through the Spirit of God living within you, you can't not feel the heaviness of sin. You can't not feel the darkness. It's almost like, you know, there are times it's almost like a cloak that surrounds you. You can feel the thickness and the heaviness of that. And we'd commented about that several times because unfortunately the hotels you stay at make you walk through the casino to get to your room. And it was just, you're surrounded by it all the time. It's the environment. It's what it was. But what gripped my heart, I came away, I was saddened. I was grieved because I felt like these people are so bound to this sin. It's not, you know, what we saw. We were really good. We took those Uber cars everywhere, Brother Chamberlain. That was awesome. But there was one night where we couldn't get the car to pick us up where they're supposed to, and they wanted us to walk to the other side of the hotel, which is about 2 miles. And so we're like, well, let's walk a little ways, and maybe we can find another one. So I got a lot more exposure on the way. And what I saw was not a bunch of people having fun, but a bunch of people so miserably bound, not even really aware of what they were doing, but the origin of it being they were bound to themselves. They were bound to the lust of the flesh they had given themselves over to, and now they didn't know anything else. And where it started was just, this is what I want, so I'm going to do it. This is what satisfies me, so I'm going to do it. And then this was the place it took them to. When I say they were bound to themselves, they were bound to sin, they were bound to evil, but what it started with was, well, this is what I want. And I was so convicted, and I felt, first of all, Lord, thank you that I have Jesus and that I have peace and that I'm not hollow and empty. My spirit's not empty, but it's filled with your joy and your goodness. But God created me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit in me. If my spirit is so full of Kaylee, change my heart. If what I choose is myself and what I want over what you want for me or what you have for me, cleanse me of that, because it's such a slippery slope. You know, it really is. It doesn't start out with drugs and alcohol and pornography and other sexual addictions. It doesn't start there. What it really starts with is, okay, in Kaylee terms, God, I know I need to spend time in your word, but I would rather entertain my mind with maybe a novel or some Netflix because I don't want to have to think and I don't really want to be convicted. Or it can start with, okay, I know that I need to spend some time with you today, but if you can just hold on for a minute, I'm going to fix the kids' breakfast and then I'm going to change a load of laundry and then I'm going to go put Parker down for a nap. And I know those are all things and it's kind of like, okay, but really, I can have a million excuses and justifications in my mind to put myself and even my family before the Lord and before my time with the Lord. And so I have just come home with such a conviction and such a burden, not necessarily about that situation, but about, as for me and my house, Lord, fill us with you. Empty us of ourselves, because I have just spent 2 days seeing the road of destruction that's laid ahead that starts with me, 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 me. And I don't want me. I want you. I want your goodness. I want your truth to prevail in my home, in my city. I want your truth to prevail in the minds of my children so that every day their steps are ordered in your word and your plan for their lives. And so if that means denying more of myself, then let me die daily. Let me find a place and an altar where I present myself and my life and my ambitions to you daily so that I can live in the joy and the contentment and the peace that comes with being who I'm supposed to be in the kingdom, where I'm supposed to be in the kingdom, operating as I'm supposed to in my giftings in the kingdom.
Brother Kendrick, I'm going to go to Matthew, the 13th chapter. I'm going to start at verse 13. Thank you. We'll read it first in the KJV, and then we'll probably read it in the Amplified Bible. Therefore, I speak to them in parables. Well, can we go back to verse 12? I'm sorry. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. Let's try verse 10. Yes, thank you. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He just got done talking to a group of people about the parable of the sower. And he's talking about sower went out to sow. And so in verse, we get 1 through 9. And in verse 10, the disciples come and say, why did you speak to them in parables? Verse 11. He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you. He's talking to the disciples. It's given unto you, disciples, to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them, it's not given. Anybody here like being a part of something exclusive? It's kind of fun, isn't it? You know, it's this exclusive, online web club. Only 500 people allowed in. It's kind of cool to be a part of something exclusive. And that's what he's talking to the disciples about. He says, this, you've been given the ability. I gave it to you to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Do you understand the privilege that we have afforded to us if we receive it? To understand the mysteries of the kingdom of God, the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven? Do you wish to know today the mysteries? Do you wish to understand? Do you just read your Bible for something to do to pass the time to check a list? Or do you read it and pray and read it and pray and hope that God shows you something in his word? That somehow he drops a little nugget of information into your spirit in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening. I don't know about you, but I read the word of God because I want to know more about him. I want to see things. There's nothing more exciting to me. This little book right here, this is written with all kinds of things that I read in the scriptures that don't make any sense to me. And they're little reminders to go back and try to figure it out. And I'll take that book and I write those things down. And then I'll go back and I'll pray about those things. And I'll reread them and try to go search out other scriptures on that subject. Because I want to know. I want to know him. He said it's given to you. There's a group of people that he wants to understand the mysteries of his kingdom. And if he's passing out answers to mysteries, then I want to be one that receives it. You ought to be one that desires to see it and understand it. Verse 12. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. We're going to understand more about that as we read on. Verse 13, please. Therefore, speak I to them in parables. He said in verse 11, it's for you to know the mysteries, it's not for them. And they that have an understanding, Brother Andre, they're going to get even more understanding. But them who have no understanding, them who don't understand it, what little bit that they may understand, I'm going to take it away from them. And that's why I speak to them in parables, because they seeing, see not. And hearing, they hear not. Neither do they understand. Sister Marcella, he's saying that they read their Bible every day. They go listen, and to put it into their day, they go listen to the scribes roll out their scrolls and recite the Old Testament verses and the words of the prophets, Isaiah. They go listen to all these things, and they may be able to recite them, but they don't even know what they're reciting. They memorized them, Brother Tom. They could stand up and they could pontificate in the synagogues and on the street corners, and thus saith the prophet Isaiah, behold, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to. Yeah, I know, I'm right here. You're reading it. You think you know it, but you don't understand it. Seeing, you can't. You see it, but you don't really see it. Anybody here? There was this phase in the 90s. My dentist still has a whole bunch of the books. Some of you may not know what I'm describing, but they were like the pictures in pictures books. Anybody remember those? That was another one. Where's Waldo? Yeah, like you're in the top 10% of America if you can see what's the hidden picture. And it was just this massive color, and I never saw anything in those pictures. But I saw something there. I saw that jibber jabber, all that splash of color on the paper, but I never really saw I didn't have the perception. I didn't perceive with my eye what was actually there. I don't know how they did that. It was a fad for a while. You don't hear a lot about it anymore. But that's what he's describing. You can see, but you don't really see. You hear, but you're not really hearing. Anybody here with kids? Sometimes this is true of adults, but we won't pick on the adults. Today. We'll pick on the kids because they're in class. Plus, I don't want anyone to throw anything at me. You ever talk to somebody and they're nodding their head, shaking their head, and they're nodding their head and shaking, yeah. And you just know. You walk away and you're like, they did not get a single thing I said. It's hilarious with kids. I could be having a conversation, and in like 30 seconds, I will stand there at the bedroom. Hadley, I want you to pick up all these toys right here. Okay. And I'll stand there and watch. And she'll meander around, and she'll find a book on the bed. Next thing you know, she's distracted. I said, Hadley, what did I just ask you to do? I don't know. She's so truthful. I don't know. She acted like she was listening, but she really wasn't. Like I said, we're picking on the kids today. That never happens with adults. They're in Sunday school. Hearing, they hear not. Neither do they understand. Verse 14. And in them, back to this understand thing in end of verse 13. You don't have to go back there on the screen. Do you remember Philip's encounter with the Ethiopian eunuch in the book of Acts? When he came up on him and asked him, do you understand what you're reading? He was there reading, but what Philip brought to the chariot that day was spiritual understanding of words, holy writ on a page. He expounded, he imparted understanding to him, and he acted on that understanding, and the Lord changed his life that day. Verse 14, and in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand. I've been there. Actually, I'm there a lot. sometimes I get in over my head in different situations, different circumstances. Anybody here ever been around somebody who they're just incredibly smart, and then they're very well versed in their field, and you come into a presentation of theirs where you're as green as a gourd in their field, and you're really trying to understand, like you're there in the meeting that day because you want to know more about what they. I'll use myself as an example. I work with a lot of people who are very, very well versed in the world of lighting controls. And these people, they will do a training. Everybody say a training. They're going to train ignorant people like me, who they think know nothing about controls, how to install them, how to program, how to understand them. And so when I hear the word training, I think, you know, I think training wheels on my bike. You know, this is the basics. You're going to put the training wheels on me, and you're going to let me ride around, and we're going to start at a ground level. We're going to build a foundation, and we're going to go somewhere with this. No, them jokers start, if it's a 50-story building, they start on like the 25th floor. And you're the entire time, your mind's racing, trying to keep up. And you're hearing everything they're saying, but you don't understand a single thing of it. So frustrating. Hearing what's coming out of their mouth about human-centric lighting and, you know, algorithms and circadian rhythm and what? Hold, go back. What's circadian rhythm? What's humans? What? Talk about, explain these things. They just, you know, you ever been around somebody who just throws out acronyms, PTO? HLB, BCE. They throw acronyms out like everybody that's in the room knows what that is. I'm that guy who just in the room. Hey, what is BCE? Well, that's, you know. What's BTUs? I'm here. I'm listening. I'm hearing you, but I'm not understanding. There's got to be a hunger inside of us to do more than just hear, but to ask the Lord, Lord, I want to understand. I don't, you know, we can come here and we hear all kinds of things said from all kinds of different levels of individuals in their knowledge and understanding and place of revelation. There are many of you who sit here today who are at different places in your level of understanding and revelation in your walk with God and in your personal study of the scriptures. There's some of you been reading the Bible longer than I am old. I don't claim to be at the same level of understanding as you are because you've spent time immersing yourself and God has shown you these things, but I have a desire. I have a passion that I believe the Holy Ghost put inside of me to understand what I read, to understand what I hear. When I sit in here on Sundays, whoever's speaking, I stay connected to the Holy Ghost the entire time because I believe that's where the revelation comes. I believe it's two-part. I believe that there's gifting that operates through men that brings revelation and understanding of Scripture through their ministry. When they speak, it's just like, it's revelatory. It's a very revelatory ministry. They speak and it's like God's turning lights on in dark rooms. If the Scriptures are dark rooms in a building, it's like he's turning lights on those Scriptures. It's like, wow, I never saw that before. Wow, that's connected. Man, God, you're doing great things. But then I believe there's the second part of that is that there's me as the hearer of that word, who's allowing my spirit to stay connected with his spirit and allowing that word that's being spoken out into a room to be imparted into my spirit. Bishop just kind of breezed over this last week, but he made mention of somebody who told him, I think it was one of the girls had told him that this was the best message I ever heard, and he said he listened to it, and he was like, oh, home, yeah, that was great. We can sit in a group like this and three or four of us can leave going, my goodness, never seen that before in Scripture. The way Brother Kendrick laid that out, or the way Brother Heiner or Brother Berglund talked about that connection of Israel and this or that. And the rest of us were like, oh, man, that was a long. Good thing I put a roast in the crock pot. It's two-part. It's spiritual ministry is two-part. It's part putting out and it's part receiving. If I shut my spirit off unknowingly, I'm not saying that we sit here and go, I'm putting the walls up today. I'm full. I'm spiritually full. Somebody was joking around with me a couple weeks ago. They said, boy, I got filled. I ate good tonight spiritually. And I showed them this meme of this guy who had a shirt busting at the seams. It was a meme, and it said, when you've been eating that good word but not doing anything with it. And sometimes we get that way. We just eat and eat and eat and eat and eat, and we're just so full of good word, but there's no understanding with it. We've never allowed our spirit to connect with his spirit in that place of receiving and allow him to impart understanding of what's being heard. And so we can listen to preaching, we can listen to ministry for years and years and years and years and never see it really have a true effect. You know how I know that's true? Because there are times where I'll say something to my wife, I'll be like, man, the Lord really ministered to me today through that. And she's like, really? That's the same thing so-and-so said 2 weeks ago. What's being said to me in that? If I put my Jesus earphones on, what's being said to me was, I must have been off in La La Land a couple weeks ago. I must have been thinking about something. My mind was somewhere else. But that day, I allowed my spirit to be open to receive what it was he wanted to put in me that day. And with that word, with that hearing, came understanding. Seeing and seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. That's the people that are looking at the picture that's got a picture in it and they can't see it. Their eye can't perceive it. The scripture, the wise man in Proverbs said that without a vision, the people perish. Without a vision. What do you see today? I'm not talking about when you close your eyes, do you see yourself living in a mansion, or do you see yourself preaching to crowds of millions or singing before thousands? I'm not talking about that today, but what do you see? What has the Lord allowed you to see? And when you look at your life spiritually, what do you see? I know what God sees. He desires to share with us what he sees. He gives us insights through his word into what he wants us to see and how he wants us to perceive. But he says that there's this place that you can get to where you see, but you don't perceive anything. I can be looking at the perfect plan of God for my life, tripping over it, falling into it face first, and going, oh my God, how come I just can't find the will of God? You're laying in it. You tripped over it. But you can't perceive spiritually. You're not perceiving spiritually. You're trying to look physically. Verse 15. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears, their heart is waxed gross. It starts he starts to sum it all up. And in his summary, he starts with the heart. Their hearts wax gross. One translation that we'll read here in a minute says that their heart has become hardened. How does a heart become hardened? Does somebody just choose, I'm going to harden my heart today. And from here on out, my heart's going to be hard. And I'm going to be mean. I used to be nice, but now I'm going to be gruff. Don't knock on my door. Put a no soliciting sign up. No trespassing. I'm going to be hard from here on out. People are going to respect me because I'm hard. No. My heart becomes hardened over time. My heart becomes calloused because of repetition. How do you get calluses on your hand, Brother Ruben?
Just doing the same repetitive thing over
and over. Right. They become calloused. People swing hammers all day. My hands are calloused. These fingers right here, these first two fingers, are just nothing but calluses up and down from playing drums. They've been that way my entire life. If you look real close at them, you can see them. They're just calloused because I've been doing it. That's almost 30 years of calluses that have built up over time. I didn't just one day tell my fingers, you're going to be hard today. You're going to get hard. People are going to shake your hand and be like, man, what do you do? No, it's a process. It's a repetitive process. And I would propose to you today that because of the repetitive process that is our system, that is our coming in and gathering together and receiving, or our daily reading, that we can, without even knowing it, we allow our hearts to become hardened. We don't even realize it. We become so insensitive to His Spirit. I was hunting a few weeks ago with a man who's an EMT, and he was talking about the night before he was in EMT training with his wife. They're volunteer firefighters up in Snoqualmie, and he was saying that his wife had just had her EMT. She was just, that night before they were at an EMT class, and he goes, "Oh, I can't wait to go on a call with her and for her to get her first bleeder." I'm just like, oh man, I don't really want to talk about this. He talked about how he said, I'm just numb to it. It bothered me at first, but I'm just numb to it. And I remember sitting there that day in the cold thinking, Lord, I don't want that to ever happen to me spiritually, where I just become numb to things spiritually that happen around me. It is a good reality check to go to Vegas every now and then, just to see where your heart's at. Where's my spirit? Am I numb spiritually to things? Because I don't care if it's teaching, preaching, singing, spiritual activity. The more exposure you have to something continually, you just become hardened to it. You just have to kind of you just shut that part of your heart off. I don't want to feel that. I just push it away. And you get used to it. That's why we have to be so careful with our entertainment. Be careful what you watch. Be careful what you listen to. It can just numb you to the place where you're sitting there watching something and it doesn't even bother you anymore. I was partaking in some entertainment late last year. It was portrayed as one thing. It was portrayed as something that was funny and exciting. It was a movie about Christmas. And about 15 minutes into it, what it really was, it was nothing about Christmas. What it really was a slam against conservative Christians that believe the Bible and go to church every Sunday. I got so angry. Angry. I told my wife, I said, I'm going to tell everybody I know, don't you dare watch that. There wasn't anything else wrong with it. It was clean. But that was ridiculous. And I thought, God forbid that any Christian could support that, could set through that, and be like, oh, that, you know, that was a good film. No, it's not. If you think that's a good film, you need to go get a spiritual reality check. We can't allow ourselves to become so callous. Well, you know, the world's just anti-Christian. The world's just, you know, not everybody's going to believe in God, so you just got to learn to roll with it. No. I don't want my heart to become hardened. And he said, that's what's happened to the people who they see, but they don't really see, and they hear, but they don't understand. Their hearts have become hardened. This is the problem. Their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes, they have closed. He said, if any time I could get them to see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted. If I could, he's talking about a desire. If I could find a people who have a desire to see spiritually, hear spiritually, understand spiritually, he said, I would heal them. He's talking about spiritually. He's not talking about physically. He's talking about spiritual healing. He wants his church to be spiritually whole. He doesn't want a bunch of blind people walking around. He doesn't want a bunch of deaf Christians. I'm not talking about physically. I'm talking about spiritually. You can be physically deaf and hear spiritually. You can be physically blind and see things spiritually. It's possible. He wants to heal his people of their spiritual ailments. But it starts with a desire for them. He said if they would just, listen, anytime they would just want to see with their eyes, they just want to hear with their ears, I'll heal them. Verse 16. One other thought. You remember the story that Jesus told? I forget, forgive me, I don't forget the correlation who he was talking to, but it was a situation where he was talking to the young man who said, I would follow you, but first let me go bury my father. Remember, you know that story in the Gospels? On the same page there. When you read that in the New Living Translation, the Amplified Bible, he literally says, when Jesus says, hey, go. Let the dead bury the dead, do your thing, you know. It literally says there, let the spiritually dead bury the spiritually dead. We read that from, and I always have in the KJV, I've read that from a physical standpoint. Like, oh, poor guy, he wants to take care of his family. He's a good dude. But there was something in that young man's spirit that Jesus, he was talking about this. He was spiritually dead. He couldn't see in that moment what God was asking him to do. He was so caught up in. Jesus, when you think about it from that perspective, you realize how flippantly Jesus said it. Yeah, spiritually dead ought to hang out together. See ya. If you think about it from that perspective, that's how Jesus handled it. Because he didn't have the ability by the times to see or to understand or to hear what it was that God was wanting to do in him in that moment. What was being offered to him spiritually? He couldn't grasp it. Oh, I got to. And you know what? That young man probably was talking about his father's death physically. I'm sure that he was. Hey, I'd love to. Thank you for the opportunity. But I got a lot going on right now. My parents are near death. Just let me take care of my parents through their later years. And then I'll come find you. Jesus says, too late. Verse 16 of Matthew 13, back to our portion of scripture here. Jesus said, but blessed are your eyes, for they see. Your ears, for they hear. These are the eyes and ears that I want. Verse 17. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets, everybody say many prophets. Everybody say prophets. Say prophets again. Prophets. Many prophets. Oh, those are men that we elevate spiritually. Those are people that they operate in that prophet gifting. And they're so incredible. I personally, I'm speaking for me. I love to see men operate in the giftings of a prophet. To see prophecy come to pass. I love that. I probably personally elevate men like that too high. Just being honest. But I love to see the gifts in operation and men give themselves to gifting. I enjoy that spiritually. But he said many prophets and righteous men have desired to see the things which you see. Remember, he was talking to just normal old folks. Guys, he'd pulled off fishing boats and out of tax collector boxes. You're going to see things that prophets and righteous men wish they could see. But I've chosen to show it to you. I'll speak for myself here, but do you ever, no, raise your hand, do you ever ask God, why me? Do you ever ask yourself that? Do you ever, maybe this will help you. When I drive past the jungle in Seattle, the cool, I ask God, why me? When I walk past homeless people on the sidewalk, maimed, lame, missing a leg, begging for their livelihood, I ask God, why? Why did you choose me? Why me? He told his disciples, there are many prophets, there's many righteous men who want to see the things that you see, the things that I'm going to allow you to experience. Why me? What did I do so special? What did I do so right that you would pick me, God? That's not for me to understand. He's never answered that question. But it makes me all the more grateful today for the opportunity that he extended to me. I don't know why he picked you and not your brother. I don't know why. I don't know why he picked me over my cousin. I don't know why he picked you over your brother or your sister. I don't understand those things. But what I do know is I'm going to make the best of the opportunity that he's extended to me in this hour. That's all I can do. My desire today, my heart's desire, the heartbeat, the Psalms, David said, as the heart panteth after the water brooks, as the deer panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my heart after thee, O God. This is the desire of my heart, is that I want to see everything that he has in store for me. There's nothing that I want hidden from me. There's no mystery that I want him to keep a mystery from me. I want to see it. And God, my prayer is today that if your desire is to show it to me, then let it be so in Jesus' name, because I don't want to miss out. I don't want the train to leave the station and me be standing there thinking, what if I had decided, what if I had chosen to receive everything and to walk in everything that you had destined for me, that you had chosen for me? What if? You believe this today? Why? Why did he choose this little church in Puyallup? Do you realize that the ministry that's passed through this building in the past 15 or 20 years and ministered here in manifest meetings, meet meetings, call the war meetings. Do you even grasp that? Things that have been set long before some of us were even in this room. Things that were set in place spiritually in meetings and intercessory prayer and understanding of intercessory prayer, understanding of prayer that's been imparted into this room. And I've attended other churches. That same understanding isn't there. Why does he choose a little group of people in a town that most people in America can't even pronounce? Puglia, Plia, Plia. He chose us. He said, I'm going to give this little bit of understanding to you. I'm going to drop it into your spirit. He chose us. That ought to be all the more spiritual reason to embrace it, grab a hold of it, and want to see everything it is. Sometimes I get opportunities to talk to people, have interaction with other young ministers and travels, places. Brother Heiner and I serve on the youth board together, and we rub shoulders with, there's five other young men on that board, and I have a lot of extensive conversations with many of them, some of them into the wee hours of the morning, and sometimes for an hour or two at a time on the telephone, and I sense their hunger. I sense a hunger in them, and they begin to talk about things that they wish they could see spiritually. And they begin to talk, could you imagine if, you know, what if this and what if that? And these are all things that I've experienced here with you together as a body. I think sometimes I listen to conversations, I engage in conversations, I sit across the table and I think, that happens every Sunday. Why us? I don't know the answer to that question, but all I can tell you is he's chosen us. He's chosen you individually, collectively. He's placed all the members here. And so I'm going to choose to see. I'm going to choose to hear. I'm going to choose to understand. I want everything. I want everything that he has for us. If that makes me selfish, then Jesus, forgive me. But I want it all. Whatever, I imagine that he's got this basket hanging above our heads. And in it is all these things that he just wishes to share with us. But it's up to you and I to see it, understand it, spend the time with him in prayer, be willing and come into seasons of times of ministry with open spirits, open hearts to receive understanding and things that he has for us. That's the precipice for him. That's the prerequisite for him pouring it out. I want that. I don't want just little dribbles out of the basket that you get every now and then when we leave here. Woo, that was a good service. Shook a leg and danced a little bit. That's great, but I want that whole thing. I want it like he talked about financially in Malachi, where he says, I'll open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon you you're not able to contain. I'd rather have a problem of there's so much understanding and so much revelation that is prevalent in this room every time we come together, that every one of us leave thinking, Lord, have mercy. What did God do today? He was telling the disciples that that's where they were at with him. That's where I want to be. Will you stand with me? I truly believe today in the process of time callousing us. I'm a firm believer in the process of time causing me to become calloused and hardened towards the things of God. Not like hard and mean, but just like you're just not as sensitive anymore. Ah, yeah, I know that. Yeah, I got that. I got that. Yeah, I've read that scripture before. Anybody here ever been in a service and somebody starts, you know, they claim their text. We're going to preach today from Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. Oh, yep, he's teaching about baptism. Oh. Let's see. Are there any basketball games today? That's the callousness. How many times have we quoted Mark 16:16? How many times have we quoted Matthew 24:19? How many times have we quoted Acts 2:38? And so in the repetition, we're just like, oh, yeah, Peter, sinner, then we're being baptized. Everyone in the name of Jesus Christ, which says you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Whew. Yeah, got it. There's nothing else I can understand in that. I don't want that to be my approach. But the longer that I'm around his word, his spirit, the more risk I run of that becoming my heart. I don't want that. If there's any part of that in me, I want that to be healed by him. I'm reminded of the Old Testament writer that said, I think it was Ezekiel, said, take away the stony heart out of my flesh and give me an heart of flesh, pliable, something that's soft. Something that can still receive. Would you begin to talk to the Lord right now? If maybe you sense that there's been some not bad hardening, but just the process of time. Some callousing of your heart, some callousing of your emotions, some callousing of your mind. The Bible sometimes in regard to their sight talks about scales. Maybe there's been some scaling of your eyesight. Jesus, do spiritual eye surgery on us today. Jesus, do spiritual heart surgery on me today. If my heart has become calloused, if my spirit's become calloused to the things of you, to your spirit, to your leading, to the understanding that you wish to impart, Father, if my eardrums have become to the point where your voice is just a dull noise, I pray heal me today spiritually. I don't want to die spiritually, Father. I don't want to become spiritually inept, but I desire a free flow of ministry into my life. I want to receive everything that you have for me, Jesus. I don't understand why you've chosen me, but you have, and so I receive it. I receive it into my spirit today. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Harondo ria rama shando robo ria rama ye. Ilo rondo ria la la ma shando robo ria rama ye. Iso rondo ria rama shande ya rondo ria rama kiane ya. Thank you, Jesus. 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 I remember about 10 years ago, I've never forgot this. It was shortly after Kaylee and I had gotten married. I think Loren and Caleb had just gotten married. They got married in Mexico at a resort. I wasn't at that wedding, but they got home. Bishop made a statement on a Sunday with regard to these. If you've ever been to one, you know what I'm talking about. These all-inclusive resorts. They have like 18 restaurants in them. They have all this good food. And it's all free. You go there and you walk in. You have whatever you want, whenever you want. You can call room service 24 hours a day. And they bring you pizza. They bring you nachos. Bring you tacos. Get chicken strips and fries. Barbecue, whatever you want. They just, it's all inclusive. And they're at your service. You call, they knock, and boom, there's your food. And you talked about how after a week of that, you're just not even hungry anymore. You just don't even care. You just don't. You can care less about food. The beginning of the week, you're like, oh, boy. Good thing I brought my stretchy pants. By the end of the week, you don't care if you ever eat another bite. Because you've had so much of it. And he made the analogy to us spiritually in much the same way. That we can eat, we eat so much, we eat so good all the time. We just, oh, that's so good, that's so good. And after a while, you're just like, yeah, I'm not really hungry. And we kind of just, We don't have that same spiritual hunger. I've never forgot that. And I keep that at the forefront of my mind. Because I want to stay hungry. I always want to be hungry for whatever he's feeding. Whether it's at 5 o'clock in the morning in front of my Bible or at 11:30 on a Sunday and whoever's in the pulpit. I want to stay hungry. I want my spiritual appetite to stay at a peak level. Because when he's serving food, somebody told a story the other day that I identified with. Said his wife had made him dinner, but he was a ways from home. So he thought, well, I'll just go through the drive-thru and get a snack. And he got to the drive-thru, and I identify this because I've done this before. You're so hungry. And I'm leaving my office in Seattle, and I'm looking at my watch, and Kim says, dinner will be ready when you get home. I'm like, yeah, that's like 2.5 hours. I'll hit the Carl's Jr. drive-thru in Tukwila. And I'll just get an appetizer. It'll hold me over in all that traffic until I get home. And then you roll up to the drive-thru, and you're like, ooh, a Jumbo Jack. That's it. I'll just have a Jumbo Jack. That's it. Well, I might as well have the meal. I'll just get a medium. Next thing you know, you got, well, would you like a cookie with that? Well, of course. You got to have a cookie with it too. And I have myself a meal, and then traffic's light. So, you know, I'm home in 45 minutes. Then it's time to eat. And you're like, oh, well, yeah, that looks great, but I'm not really hungry anymore. Do you identify with that? We can be that way spiritually too. I want to be careful what I'm putting in my spirit, because I want to maintain that spiritual hunger. I want to be ready to eat when he's serving. If he wakes me up at 2 o'clock in the morning and calls me to time of prayer and reading, I want to be ready to eat and not be like, oh, I'd rather sleep than eat right now. You should have seen what I had for dinner last night. No, that's not, I want to remain in a place of hunger so that when he's serving, I'm ready to eat. Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for each individual in this room today. Thank you for the hunger that is in this room, Father. I pray, let it grow. Let it not wane, but Father, let it grow. Feed the fire within us. Let that fire continue to burn, the fire of desire, Father, for more of you. In the name of Jesus. 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 This week will be the final week of life groups for the month of February. We've had some